Tonight we're going to start with 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to stand for this reading. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to go to verses 3 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 16. It's one of my favorite. Well, actually, the whole Word of God. The whole Bible is my favorite, but, you know, there's something that just sticks to you over the years. Is everybody there? If you're there, say amen. All right, here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with an inexpressible full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to they that were ministering the things now which have been reported to you, to those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Verse 13. Therefore, say that, therefore. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Let us pray. Father God, just thank you for this time to share what you placed on my heart. And I just thank you, Father God, that it is received, Father God. And we just have your way during this time, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Peter wrote this letter to the churches in Asia Minor around 64 A.D., 64 A.D., all right? He was trying to encourage the Christians in that region that were suffering from persecution all around them. They were suffering from persecution from their neighbors, from the government and authorities, and all they were doing was just trying to live for God. In this letter, Peter explained that persecution would happen, and he also explained to them how to endure, how to hold on to their faith. And during that time, Nero was the Roman emperor. He hated Christians. He hated Christianity. It's kind of crazy because I was looking up some of the stuff he would do and I was sharing it with my wife. My wife's like, what? Yeah, he was pretty out there. In 64 AD, Rome suffered a terrible fire that burned for 6 days and 7 nights. And it burned 2/3 of the city. And it was said that Nero set the fire. He was trying to amuse himself. He was weird, man. He was messed up. He was trying to amuse himself. But when the people started finding out he was the one that did it, he blamed the Christians. So what happened is during that time, Christians became a fair game and they started persecuting them. They would round the Christians up, put them to death for entertainment purposes. They would die horrible deaths, you know, throwing them into lions' dens. They would post them up somewhere, just have a dog bark at them. They end up eventually dying because they worried themselves to death. How many of y'all know you can worry yourself to death? Nailed to the crosses, of course. They would put them on stakes and burn them at night. Then use the light up the night. I mean, they did all kinds of crazy things to the people there. Nero was whacked out, man. He would sometimes take the hides of animals, mainly lions, and pretend like he was a lion, going to the lion's den and start biting on them and chewing up human people. This mug is whacked. Can I get an amen? He needed some Jesus. He needed some Jesus, man. He was, man. Anyway. There's a lot of more stuff that I learned about him, but I was like, man, I'm going to keep it like Cliff Notes version. I ain't That mug needed some Jesus. But anyway, he was whacked out. But a little bit, think about Peter, you know. Don't Peter amaze you, you know, how Jesus tells him to come follow him in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He tells him, come follow him. And when you read that scripture, they just dropped their nets and left. And then next thing you know, Jesus asked him later on, him and his disciples, who he was. And Peter said, you are the Christ. And Peter says, you're the Christ. And Jesus said, upon that revelation, I will build my church. But it's kind of crazy. Because I'm pretty sure you know this. It was about 3 verses later. Jesus rebukes him. Ain't that crazy? You ever seen Christians do that 1 minute? Hallelujah. And next thing you know, they're cussing you out. They're cussing you out or something. It's like, man, what the heck? So, what's going on with you? You just praising the Lord. Now you're cussing me out. Because I took the last donut. All these donut places we have in the shop, in this town, in this community, you'll be fine. You'll be just fine. But anyway, and then he turns around in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. I'm not reading these. I'm just giving you reference here. He denies Jesus 3 times. Can't imagine how Peter felt. How many of y'all have known that in some form or way or another, during your walk with Christ, you denied him? It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. You know, when I went to gave my heart back to Christ, it's the weeping. Weeping at night before I gave my heart back to Christ when I ran from him. That was part of that. Because I was denying him. So I can understand what Peter was feeling. But we serve a God. We serve a God. We serve a Jesus. We serve a Lord that restores. And in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, he restores Peter. And I love that, you know, because I've been there. He restored me. When that minister, Pastor Mike Long, said God's going to restore me, I just wept. I just wept, and still to this day, it's very powerful. How can I, you know, pass by a church for 2 years, go in there, and a preacher don't even know anything? He prophesied that to me. Didn't even know me. In the middle of his message. And I knew that, you know, God was going to do what he had to do in my life. But this is one thing I love about Peter. All that wishy-washy stuff, all that denying Jesus and, you know, getting rebuked by Jesus and things like that on the day of Pentecost. Woo-wee! On the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 37, he said this. He said, I'm going to read 37. It said that they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of his apostles, what should they do? Is what Peter preached. I was telling my wife, that's what true Holy Ghost preaching is supposed to do. We need more ministers that are not afraid to cut. Amen. Stop worrying about being politically correct and being all popular and all this other stuff. Or I'm afraid that if I say that to the congregation, I might lose half my congregation. Well, if you stop looking at the books and let your treasure take care of that and God take care of that, you won't have to worry about that. Amen. You will never have to worry about that. But we live in a day and age for probably the last 30 years, man. We got preachers pimping the gospel. Can't stand that. Freely I receive, freely I give. God blesses me because of the ministry, because he wants to. But you got preachers and pastors out there that just want to pimp the gospel. The congregation gets this full, oh man, I got to start looking at the books. If I start preaching on this, I notice if I preach on this, the attendance goes down. But when I preach on this, it goes up. And then that's why you got a bunch of people running around, hey, preacher, can you just make me feel good? I'm going to make you feel good. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's how I'm going to make you feel good. That's showing genuine love for you, yeah. Telling you the truth. Yeah. That's my job. I shared that with the youth group last night. That is my job. I'll never be one of them preachers that care about how much you love me or how popular I am. I don't care. I don't care about that. My job is to tell the truth, spread the love of Jesus, amen. Preach the gospel. And the rest I leave to God. I'll never care. If you write me a letter and say, Pastor Anthony, I can't stand you, I'm like, I love you anyway. Okay. And I thank God, early on in my Christian life, he gave me thick skin. You know, when you do street ministry, you better have some thick skin. I've been spit on, cussed out, you know, called every name in the book. Lord shows you how to get thick skin real quick. But you got to keep loving on the people. I was down doing some street ministry one time, and there was this big Big black dude. He's bigger than me. I'm big. He was bigger than me. His name was Cisco. And he was down there cussing everybody out. All the Christians. He said, "You Christian MFs, get away from me. Y'all don't know this. Y'all don't know that. Y'all don't know this. Y'all don't know that." And I walked by him. I was like, "Man, I ain't messing with that fool." And the Lord said, "Oh, Anthony." I'm like, "What? Pray for him." Okay, I'll pray for him, but I ain't talking to him. Okay, the Lord said, "Don't stop. Pray for him." So I started praying, and the Lord started revealing some things to me about him. And all I did, I turned around to him as he's talking. He said, "Man, what do you want?" I said, "What's your name?" "Cisco." He said, "Man, can I pray for you?" "No, get out of my face." I'm like, "Okay." The Lord said, "Stay. Pray." For 30 minutes, I stood there. This young man finally said, "Fine, get over here, man, and pray for me. I'm tired of looking at you." Laid my hands on him. Everything God had told me. This big dude started weeping. Tears of repentance. And then he said, "You know what? I used to be a preacher." He said, "I've been mad at God because my wife and my child died during birth." And guess what he started doing? He started prophesying to me. He said, "The Lord's going to use you to touch a lot of people, man. You're going to touch a lot of people with the love of Christ." He prophesied to my buddy Glenn. He's like, "Yeah, the Lord's going to send you around the world to preach the gospel." Glenn's like, "Yeah, I already know. My friend Glenn's like that." He's just like that. He's weeping. He walked away crying. He's like, "Brother." And I always tell people, if the Lord only had me doing street ministry that day, just for that one person, it was worth it. He needed to feel the touch of God. Sometimes it's not about all the words and everything we say. Sometimes it's just somebody needs to feel the love of God, the genuine love of Christ in their life. That's what they need to feel. If you're doing street ministry, sometimes it's better just to be like, instead of trying to Bible something, say, "Lord, what do you want me to pray for this person?" Doing some street ministry one time, there was a U.S. Marine soldier. Prayed for him. He's like, "Man, can I hang out with you guys?" I'm like, "Sure, come on." He hung out with us for the rest of the evening. As we were doing street ministry. He was in town and didn't know nobody. That was a divine appointment. To minister to him, to encourage him, to thank him for serving his country. But God, true Holy Ghost preaching, that's what it should do. And Peter, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he became a powerful minister. I like ministers like that. I don't need no fluff. I want some fluff. I'll hug my wife and she would give me my fluff. I don't need no fluff for no minister. I need the truth. Yeah. Amen. And that's been part of the problem. I've heard ministers, man, I've sat in services and I'm like, "Man, what the? Why did he say that? My wife's looking at me. Did he honestly say that?" But like I said, get some, they're caught up. They want to be popular. They want to be the favorite. I ain't here to be your favorite. You're my brothers and sisters, Lord, but I ain't here to be your favorite. I'm here to share the gospel and serve Christ. Everything else, I care less. Amen. Say this with me. We tend to forget. Say it again. We tend to forget that we serve a holy and just God. You know, didn't Peter just say that in verse 15, he says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15. He said this, but as he called you is what? Holy. But as he called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Bible says all your conduct, right? In all your conduct, be holy, right? That's what it says, right? Not just on Sunday? Does it say just on Sunday? No. Come on. Does it just say on Sunday? No. Does it say when you're around other believers? Or when the pastor's around? Does it say, "Well, pastor's around, I gotta act right. Let me walk straight." It says all your conduct. All time. Now, he said this, "It is written, be holy for I'm holy." And all your conduct. When you agree, that's a kind of a standard there for us. Amen. There's a standard there for us believers. I ain't talking about legalism or a bunch of do's and don'ts.
I ain't talking about how somebody's taken something out of the Word of God and made it a dumb religion. We got enough of that. It wasn't too long ago, I was going around with somebody about the way somebody dresses and everything. I'm like, man, oh. I had to finally say, dude, I'm not going around with you with that junk. Jesus said, don't judge because of appearance, but make the righteous judgment. God is judging the hearts. I went round and round with the elders at my church when I first got saved because they didn't like the way I dressed. They didn't like my earrings. I don't wear my earrings no more. But all that stuff. For 4 years, they were trying to lay all that junk on me. And the Lord finally said, Anthony, this is what he finally said. Somebody came to prophesy to me. He said, Anthony, the Lord said this. I'm not changing your appearance because I've changed the inner man. So anybody who tries to change your appearance, I'm going to mess with them. Somebody prophesied that to me. It set me free. It set me free. Don't believe me. I'm not coming here dressing like the world, but you know what I mean. We got enough of that. But there's a standard across the board for all believers, not just pastors, not just teachers, not just the worship team, not just church leadership, but every believer. We just got done reading that. There's a standard. And that standard is important because people are watching. People are watching you. You say you're a Christian. Watch. Oh, they got you under a microscope. You know, I always found it funny how the world knows how we're supposed to act better than we do. Oh, I was listening to Lester Summerall one time. He was sharing a message about, he was kind of talking about this and what he said. There was a young girl and her family went to his church. The young girl wanted to go dance, go to this dance, and she kept bugging her dad. Dad, let me go. And her dad said, okay, I'll let you go, but you got to tell one person about Jesus. So she got to this dance, started dancing with this young man, and started talking about Christ. And the boy said, wait a minute, you a Christian? She said, yeah. He said, what the heck you doing here? What you doing here? I always found that kind of amazing, a fascinating thing. I'm going to share this with you. In 1996, I was talking to a preacher. I didn't know the Lord then, and I was listening to some of the stuff he had to say. But he turns around and he prophesied to me. He said, man, you're going to be a preacher one day. And I was just kind of like, yeah, right, dude. I don't really care. I'm about to jump in my car and I'm about to go drink. And I don't care about that. You know, that was in 1996, 3 years later. Let's fast forward. I got a new job, this place up in Elkhart called Gasket Tape. Anyway, started working with another brother. His name was Ty. And I judged him before he spoke. I was like, man. He came in with his saggy pants, hat to the back, talking a little slang and stuff. I was like, man, if he talk crazy to me, I'm going to tune him up because that's how I was. That's just how I was. I was like, man, this mother might get tuned up. He talk crazy to me. But we started working together, and over time, what happened, I noticed there was something different about him. There was something different. It was just kind of like, man, it was kind of off to me. I'm like, man, this mother kind of cool. I went to the break room one day. He was on break, and I saw him sitting there with this big old Bible in front of him. And I said, you're a Christian? He said, yes, I am. I said, oh, that's pretty cool, man. And he turned to me and said, yeah, if you ever want to talk about it, let me know. That's all he said. So I began to watch him like a hawk. And during that time, we became pretty good friends. He knew all the crazy things I was doing in my life, like drinking and womanizing and all that stuff, just living for the world. But during that time, he just loved on me. All the while, Jesus was using him to soften my heart. I saw a true believer for the first time in my life. Nobody said I'm just a Christian. He made Christ real to me. Now, don't get it twisted. He made mistakes and stuff. But you know what I saw? I saw a repentant heart. He repented and he moved on. He was constant in his faith. During that year we were working together, he kept inviting me to church. I grew up with a Catholic background. I kept telling him I'll go with you on Easter. Growing up with a Catholic background, going to church on Easter is like going to the Super Bowl for us Catholics. That's the way it was. We went to church on Easter and Sunday, as long as we showed up. So in April 23rd of 2000, I went to this church called New Creation Fellowship. I was in shock and awe for the first time. I went in there. It's like, man, y'all monks is crazy. crazy. I felt some crazy thing going on. I know what it was now. It was the presence of the Lord. After worship was over, Pastor Dave gave a message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was kind of cool because I remember one of the worship songs they sung that day was He's Alive by Ron Canoy. I love that song. He's alive. I love it. Pastor Dave gave his message on resurrection, and at the end he said, if you are not sure if you was to die today, you would go to heaven. I want to pray with you. And I sat there and I'm like, man, I felt this conviction and it's like, wow. I'm looking around. There's 700 people in that place. I'm looking around. Ain't nobody budging. I said, you know what? I ran to that altar. And give me a minute on this, because when I got to the altar, Pastor Dave was up there, of course, but when we started praying, it was just me and Christ. And he said, I've been waiting for you. And I gave my heart to him that day. Tell me, but that's the day the bald-headed Jesus freak was born. But I'm going to tell you something. And when it happened, if my friend Ty wouldn't have been living that godly standard, I'm going on 20 years being saved. I just texted him the other day, and I told him, thanks. You know how many people who have heard the gospel been saved because he was living the godly standard? And this is something we have to remind ourselves every day. There's a standard for all of us. There's a standard for all of us. I said before, it's not about perfection, the do's and don'ts. It's about living a holy life before God. Living a life bearing fruits of repentance is important because people are watching. You know me, believers I ran into before I ran into Ty, said he was Christian, but they had their lifestyles demonstrated as they were going to hell. It's one of the biggest things, I guess, because it's so dear to my heart, it drives me nuts. And I see believers come in on Sunday and then Monday, they act like the rest of the world. I'm going to wrap this up with this. We have this banner right here. It says, our mission is to reach out and restore those who are walking in darkness. Read that with me. Our mission, to reach out and restore those who are walking in darkness, right? That's the body of Christ in a nutshell, right? Can I ask you a question? How can the body of Christ do that if they keep going back touching the darkness they sell? How can we? We have a standard. You represent Christ 24/7. When you're in bed, when you go to the bathroom, when you're at work, school, it doesn't matter. The grocery store, driving down the street when you got cut off. You're still representing God at all times. You are an ambassador. When you're at work, that is your congregation. I can't be there to share Christ with them. That is your congregation. They're watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. Businessmen are watching you. You have a standard. Sometimes it don't matter if you like it or not, because you never know. The next Billy Graham might be standing right there. Yes. It's important that we live that standard. I get tired of seeing believers just, oh man, I had a great time in church on Sunday, and the next thing you know, on Monday, they're cussing everybody out, or lying about somebody, or gossiping about somebody. I get tired of seeing that. This is another one that drives me nuts. We stab each other in the back. Well, I didn't like the way somebody did this. So what? Who are you? The only person that matters is to God. All that matters is Jesus. That's all that matters at the end of the day. And sometimes you got to get in bed, grab your boots and tighten them on real tight and say, yes, regardless of what's going on that day. Regardless of what the devil tries to throw at you, regardless of what temptation, trial may come about and says, I am going to serve the Lord. Yes. Amen. I'm going to close with that. Let me encourage you, please, as my brothers and sisters in the Lord, be ambassadors for Jesus. Live that standard. Not perfection, but that standard. You mess up, we have God's grace. Amen. That's what he went to the cross for. We have his grace and his mercy. You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, you keep on pressing on. Actually, people need to see that too.
There are people out there that need to see that. So sometimes it's okay if they see you say, I got to ask God to forgive me. So they know that there's a graceful and merciful God out there who loves them. Should see this. And you know what, brother, made a mistake the other day. He asked God to forgive him. He serves this God that forgives. A lot of religions don't teach that there's a God that forgives. I grew up Catholic. All I ever heard was God was mad. I was scared that he was mad at me. Yeah, he's mad at me because of my sin. But he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. I didn't hear that. At all. Always had always that Mormon. Jehovah's Witness knocking on my door. Ain't have no believers, though. Shame on us. You don't gotta sit there and Bible thump everybody day every day. Just live for God. Do what's right in his sight. Do what's right. That person you've been mad at work with for the last 10 years, give them some grace as God is giving you grace. As a matter of fact, pray for them. You never know what they're going through. You might be their answer. You've been mad at them for the last 10 years. Something they did. Give them some grace. People out in the world, it should not shock you when they sin. That's what they're broken did. So don't let it bother you. Pray for them. Pray for them. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, for God's sake. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to share my heart and share with what I'm passionate about. Thank you, Father God, that we are going to live the godly standard in this church. The people from this congregation will represent Jesus Christ. And multitudes of lives and people will be changed, and they will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of them. And during that time, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor because of it. Because all at the end of the day, Father God, we can't take nobody with us but people. And that's what it's about. Give you all the glory and honor, Father God. We ask, Father God, to bless the rest of our week. Let us be blessed coming and going. Remind us that we are children of God. Remind us that we are your children, and no weapon formed against us would prosper. No matter what's going on home, going on at work, no matter what's going on, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And even the weapons that are being formed will not prosper. We thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.